Of the 623 deaths attributed to the fishing industry from 2000 to 2012, 51%, or 317 of them, were related to vessel disasters. Just down from there were 191 deaths due to falling overboard. But for those who look at ways to improve workplace safety, another way of looking at the statistics is to tally the number of events that led to those deaths. Mallory Davis from the NIOSH office in Anchorage is doing just that, heard speaking here in Seattle in November.
If we look at the fatal events, the picture changes significantly. And we can see that vessel disasters are 185 events, or 38%, and falls overboard are 190 events, or 39%. And this really is, the falls overboard are kind of a one by one by one event that's occurring, and we don't hear about it as often as these big vessel disasters.
Meaning that although vessel disasters claimed more lives, there were actually more occasions when people fell overboard and died. Davis and her colleagues have been picking the numbers apart to get a clear picture of what leads to fall overboard fatalities, with hopes to improve life-saving safety measures aboard the nation's fishing vessels. The first step was to separate 13 out, believed to have been suicides. Davis says that's a question of mental health, not workplace safety. That leaves 178 deaths due to unintentional falls overboard.
If we look at how they fell into the water, trip or slip is the largest category, which is about 45 deaths, and then followed by lost balance, gear entanglement, knocked by gear object, and washed over. And then there's a larger unknown category.
The category for unknowns is large, says Davis, because many fishermen were alone on deck or alone on the vessel when they went overboard, and determining with certainty what caused that to happen is difficult to do. She adds that NIOSH does take into account things like drug and alcohol use, fatigue, even wet, slippery deck conditions, but their recent efforts have been more focused on getting fishermen to wear personal flotation devices. And here's why.
Out of the 178 falls overboard, one had on a PFD. And his PFD was actually ripped off the third time that his crew member tried to get him out of the water. So 177 entered the water without a PFD and died. And the one that had his PFD on, it was actually ripped off.
The NIOSH office in Anchorage conducted an extensive survey of fishermen, essentially asking why so many do not wear PFDs while they're working. Many said that they don't believe they'll ever fall overboard, but more said the reason they don't wear them regularly is because they're not comfortable to work in. NIOSH then handed out newer model PFDs and asked fishermen in four gear groups to try them for 30 days and send feedback, which NIOSH has now published. Crabbers, for example, were impressed with inflatable suspenders manufactured by Mustang and Stearns, which did not hinder work on deck or snag on gear, and were generally comfortable for all-day use. Gill netters are not a gear group that wears their PFDs very often, according to the survey. Of the 200 respondents, 55% said they never wear one, and a further 30% said they only put it on occasionally. The top reason for not wearing them, of course, is that PFDs snag on gear, which can be annoying or even dangerous. After sea trials, gill netters came back and said they could use the floatable fisherman's oilskins made by Norwegian-based Regatta, and that the Stearns inflatable suspenders were acceptable as well. NIOSH says the point is that the PFD industry is catching up with market demands from fishermen, slowly, and they want fishermen to check out the new options. Interestingly, the Coast Guard is often slower still in staying up to date, and many of today's top PFDs are not yet Coast Guard approved. But the Coast Guard offers a big caveat to that. They say go ahead and use whatever PFD you're willing to wear all the time, then just keep the approved version somewhere on board for regulation's sake, and they'll catch up eventually. In Dillingham, I'm Dave Benninger.